Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night. For the end of this week, the sixth day of the week, to bring to you his great, holy, and exalted words, the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Israel. of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. Yah is our king. He's our lawgiver. He's our judge. And he is our only savior. And not just of Israel. He's the savior of the whole world. And we praise Yah for allowing us to bring to you another program of Nothing But the Truth. I want to thank Moray Isha for his beautiful program last night when he sat in for me to deal with the various falsehoods and religious orders and beliefs that our people have been snared in concerning the last days and concerning the Messiah. And most important, who is Yah's righteous servant? The Creator lets us know in the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter, and we're going to read that so you can understand why it is so important for us to teach the way we teach. And watch what the Creator told Jeremiah. Each prophet that the Almighty sent to our people, and forgive me if you might hear a couple of calls from me. I was fighting a cold, but I'm feeling real good, but I still might have lingering effects. But this is what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter. The fourth verse. Then the word of Yah came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And this is what the prophet Jeremiah said. This is not unique to Jeremiah. All the prophets was ordained in the womb. But Jeremiah had a specific role that he played that was a little bit different than some of the other prophets. But they all were ordained in the womb. And then it says, then said I, O Yah Elohim, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. This is what made Jeremiah a little unique, because he was a child when he was ordained, and he was a child when he began to speak the word of Yah. But Yah said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says Yah. Then Yah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yah said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And watch the 10th verse, because this is the verse. This is the verse that I want you to pay close attention to. It says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kings to rule out, to pour down, to destroy and throw down. And as you can see, the Creator here four elements of destruction. Four things, and that is to build and to plant. So oftentimes, this is why many of the people didn't want to hear the prophets, because they were coming with a message that many of the people didn't like. The message that our people wanted to hear was smooth things. They wanted to hear prophecy of deceit. And the Almighty is not about deceit, and He's not about smooth things. This is why the Creator said His ways are not our ways, nor is His thoughts our thoughts. Because He's not about these smooth things our people want to hear. See, our people, they'll come together and sit at the table of brotherhood as long as things are smooth. They just want something smooth. Can we all just get along? But if feathers have to be ruffled, then we don't want to sit at the table. Why do you think the brothers are not sitting at the table of brotherhood? And the brothers I'm speaking about are the leaders, because they really just want smooth things. And of course, they know who they are. So if not, then we would have been at the table. Everyone. And they would stay at the table, because then that would show you that everybody wants the same thing. And I wanted you to see that, because this is what our beloved Moray did last night. He wasn't here to tell you smooth things, nor was he here to prophesy deceit. He brought you the word of Yah to show that the various religions, this is exactly what they were set up to do, is to prophesy deceit, smooth things. All right, and they was just informing me and letting me know that at the beginning of the program, it was buffering, but everything should be good now. And, of course, if you have any problems viewing us, you can always, on Facebook or YouTube, you can also call Blog Talk, 347-838-8963. That's our Blog Talk number, where you can listen in. But tonight, what we're going to discuss is continue our discussion on King David and the last days. Of course, this is one of Yah's righteous servants that He said He will raise up, that He anointed, and He ordained him for the purpose of the last days. But just like the various religions teaching that there's someone else that will come that the Almighty never spoke of and never mentioned them out of His book. Well, we also have people teaching and telling people about how the king of the last days, King David himself, how he will be manifested in the last days. This is very important to know, for we are the only ones that are teaching things such as it written in the book of Hosea, the third chapter, where it tells you that we were to see Yah, our Elohim, and David, our king. And why would you seek David? Well, you've been listening to us. You know exactly why we should be seeking David. But watch this in the book of Jeremiah 30. Just want you to see this. Since we're in the book of Jeremiah, and that's what we're just dealing with tonight. In King David in the last days, how will this king be manifested? The first thing you need to know about this king in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, this is what it says. The 8th and 9th verse. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck. Who yoke? Well, your enemies. The yoke of bondage, the yoke of captivity, and will burst thy bonds. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yah their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So make no mistake about it. Jeremiah is a prophet, and he prophesied that David will be raised up. No matter what book you read, it will not, if it's not consistent with that, it's only because it's deceit. David will be raised up, as Yah said. And when he is, we're going to serve Yah and David. Furthermore, not only did the Creator say that, watch what it says in the book of Hosea. Because there are certain facts we just got to point out so you can understand how he will be manifested. That you got to know, first of all, that he's going to be raised up. And watch what it says in the book of Hosea, the 3rd chapter. In the book of Hosea, the 3rd chapter, this is what it says at the 4th verse. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, and without a terebinth. Afterwards, after we abide all these days without these things, shall the children of Israel return and see Yah their Elohim, and David their king, and shall fear Yah and his goodness in the latter days. And the latter days are the last days. And what days do you think we're in today? Well, we're in the last days. The last days of our captivity. That's the time that we're in now. This is the time where the Almighty speaks of this king being raised. Not raised in a sense of just raised up at this moment, at this time, but raised up, he will be revealed. Now, how would this happen? Well, just like anything and everything the Creator do. And this is what most people, when they study the scriptures, this is what they fail to realize. Lies about the Most High that I'm going to show you. And this is in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you turn there, in the book of Ecclesiastes, and what we're speaking about is King David in the last days. Some of you might say, well, we're talking about the Messiah, which means, Messiah is just a Greek word that just means anointed. And this is the only one the Almighty talked about in the Holy Scriptures that will come back and be king. And not just king, but as we go through King David in the last days, there's a lot of things that, a lot of prophecies that you want to know about. And we're going to talk about the manifestation of King David tonight. And this is what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And watch what this says in the 14th verse. I know that whatsoever Elohim doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And Elohim doeth it that men shall fear before him. That which have been is now, and that which is to be have already been. And Elohim require that which is past. So if you want to know how King David will be manifested today or in the future, the first thing you got to learn is how Yah manifested his servants in the past. And that's what David is. He's just a man of Elohim. He's just a servant of Yah. He's just Yah's anointed. I know he's called a king, but what do you think the word king means? The word king comes from the Hebrew word malak, which means messenger. Yes, I know in the scriptures it talk about him returning to be a priest. But what do you think the word priest means? It means messenger. Yeah, I know it talks about him being a prince and a shepherd, leader, commander. What do you think all these things are? These are just messengers. These are servants, men of Elohim. And so this is how you go to see how it will be done in the future or now. So the first person, the first man of Elohim that I want you to see is in the book of Genesis. Because Yah don't change. That's why he said that which is now is, which is that which have been is now. I mean, it's already been, but it's really now. That which is to be, in other words, in the future, that's already been. And Elohim required that which is past. And there's scripture said, there's no new, in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's no new thing under the sun. I listened to this preacher last night. And some of the most shiesty preachers come on in the middle of the night. They the most shiesty ones because they the ones really trying to get your money. In the daytime, they might just be preaching, but they trying to sell something when they come on in the middle of the night. And these shiesty preachers said King Solomon, when he said it was nothing new under the sun, they said King Solomon was depressed. He was just depressed because there's many new things under the sun. There's a new day every day. There's a new day every day. Well, little do they know, all the day does is repeat itself over and over again. But I don't expect these false ambassadors of hell to know the Most High or his word. But this is what I heard the preacher say, that Solomon was just depressed. But in the book of Genesis, just so you can see how Yah manifests the power of his servants. And David is going to be no different. And watch this. In the book of Genesis 37, this is what it says in the first verse. And Yaakov dwelt in a land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Yosef brought unto his father their evil report. And you notice here, because I can read a lot in this, but what's the point? The point is Joseph was 17 years old. And this 17-year-old, this teenager, was having dreams. And his brothers didn't like him as a result of his dreams. And he was only 17 years old. And they became envious and jealous of him. And of course, when he was 17 years old, in this same Genesis, the 37th chapter, look what they did to their brother. This is why it's not good at all. It's not good. You never want to be envious of anybody. And watch what it says. Genesis 37. And I'm going to start reading the 18th verse. And when they saw him afar, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. In other words, they were so envious that they wanted to slay their brother. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness and lay no hand upon him, that he might rear him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And of course, Reuben saved his life. But Reuben left, and this is what happened in the 26th verse. And Yehuda said unto his brother, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Yosef out of the pit and sold Yosef to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Yosef into Egypt. So this is how Yosef got into Egypt. But little do people know, as all this is going on, they didn't know this was of Yah. They didn't know Yah had prepared the way for Yosef. And they didn't know that Yosef will be used to bring about great deliverance. And he was just 17 years old at this time. But watch what happens. Being 17 years old, the next time you will see yourself doing the things that he do when he was sold into Egypt. So you can see this in the book of Genesis 41. In the book of Genesis 41, this is what Yosef told Pharaoh in the 28th verse. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following it. For it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Elohim. And Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. And ain't that what the law says? Let every matter be established by what? Two or more witnesses. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is? And watch what they say. A man in whom the spirit of Elohim is. And Pharaoh said unto Yosef, for as much as Elohim have showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So as we can see, Yosef became ruler in Egypt. Who knew? Who knew that when he went down in that pit, it was just to bring him to where he became ruler in Egypt? When he went down in that pit, he was 17 years old. And nobody knew what this man would become and who this man was. He was a man of Elohim. And when was this manifested? Well, it was manifested long ago, but they didn't know. Watch what it says in the 46th verse of this same chapter. And Yosef was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So in other words, when Yosef stood before Pharaoh at the age of 30, he was sold at the age of 22. I'm sorry, at the age of 17. We're talking about 13 years. Prison. Sold to the Midianites, who sold him to Egypt. So 13 years he had to be away from his family. That's when he ruled Egypt. But he still wasn't back with his family. He was still in Egypt. So what happened after that? Well, look at Genesis 45. Because I want you to see how Yah was about manifesting his righteous servants, his messengers, his mingling in the earth. This is how Yah will raise them up. See, you don't know what's going on, but Yah do. in the book of Genesis 4:5, starting at verse 1. Then Yosef could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, and caused every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him. While Yosef made himself known unto his brother, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Yosef said unto his brethren, I am Yosef, do my father yet live? And his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence, because they hadn't seen Yosef, which I'm about to show you, for many years. And Yosef sent his brother to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me here. For he did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And he sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. And watch what it is. And to save your lives by great deliverance. Don't you see? Watch the 8th verse. So now, it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. He have made me a father to Abraham, master of all this house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, when he first stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. He told Pharaoh there would be 7 years of plenty, and it was. So it means he had to be 37, because 7 more years went past. Then he said there will be 7 years. The second year of the famine, which means now 2 more years have passed, which would have made him 39 years old. So here it is. When this man first was sold into bondage to the Midianites, he was 17 years old. And 22 years later, realize what was being manifested before them. They had no idea that a deliverer was in their midst. They didn't know. And of course, the children of Israel sojourned in Egypt 430 years. Now, why did Yah have Yosef to dwell in Egypt that long before he began to reunite him with his brothers? Because this is the way of Yah. If Yah was going to have our people go down into Egypt and sojourn there as long as they did, he didn't want them to be no servants. They had the best land, and they ruled the land. They knew the language of the people. They knew the land. And they had Yosef, the son of Yaakov, ruling. This is how Yah worked. He'll put you in a mess. That's why David said, Yah has made a table in the midst of my enemies. And my cup running over, because he knew when he was in the midst of his enemies, he was still blessed. And here it is, Yosef was very blessed. So when our people, or when Yosef was manifested and became into power, it was in a place where ultimately our people were going to be. And it was there for a long time. And Yah was not going to have him come from some other place and just rule Egypt and nobody knowing, and he ain't showed nothing, and he ain't did no works, and he wasn't nobody's servant, and he didn't make a name in no kind of way. No, this is not how Yah worked. Likewise, our father Moses. Go to the book of Exodus, the second chapter. Because we ultimately going to show you how King David will be manifested in the last days. But you got to see how Yah manifested servants in the past. Ain't no sense of talking about David. You don't even know how the servants of Yah manifested in the past. And Yah don't change. In the book of Exodus, the second chapter, start the very first verse. And there went in of the house of Levi, with the wife or daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime, with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river bank, brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moshe. And she said, "Because I drew him out of water." In other words, Moses did not come up, and nobody knew that Moses was going to be a deliverer. Nobody knew that Moses was going to be the one who bring about the name of Yah in the earth. Nobody knew that Moses would work signs and wonders in Egypt. Nobody knew that. And where was Moses raised up when he did these signs and wonders? Well, in the place that he did the signs and wonders in, and that is Egypt. He didn't come from no foreign land, speaking a foreign language, and then began to do signs and wonders in Egypt. No, he was almost like an Egyptian. Knew the culture, knew the history, knew the heritage, knew their laws, knew everything about Egypt. Raised up in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. This is where Moses come from. Yosef was in Egypt 22 years before his brothers ever seen him again. He was toiling 13 years before he even became in power. And 9 more years to see his father and his brothers where he brought deliverance and saved lives by great deliverance. And where did Moses, and who did Moses deliver? The same people. The same people, the children of Israel. And where did he deliver them from? The place where in which he was raised up. No other place. And Yah, when he goes to work and manifests as his servant, they always raised up from the midst of their brethren. They don't come from some foreign place that our people are teaching, like King David over in Jerusalem sitting on the throne. No. This is not how Yah worked. Let me show you. Just like Moses, just like Joseph, they seen the land. They touched the dirt, and they knew exactly what was going on in a place that they bring about deliverance. And the Judges, the chapter, turn there, just so you can see. Because how can you know anything about how King David will be manifested, and you don't even know how Yah manifests his servants in the earth, how Yah works? Ain't nothing new under the sun. Yah's not going to do anything different with David that he did with Joseph and Moses. In the book of Judges, the second chapter, and watch what it says. And we're going to start reading and this is real good because it's going to show you something why many of our people find themselves in the situation they do. Judges, the second chapter, the 7th verse. And the people serve Yah all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of Yah that he did for Israel. How many great works we're doing for Israel? It says, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yah, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto, and there arose another generation after them. Yah, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel and served the deity, which was a mighty. They took Yah Elohim of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and follow other deities, other idols, other people that were round about them, bow themselves unto them, and provoke Yah to anger. And forsook Yah and served the deity, which is another deity. Yah was hot against Israel and delivered them in the hand of the spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand for their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of Yah was against them for evil, as Yah has said, and as Yah has sworn unto them and they were greatly distressed. And watch this 16th verse. Nevertheless, Yah raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. In other words, that was part of the distress, that Yah will bring an enemy in and take hold of our people. But he will raise up judges, and he delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they will not hearken unto their judges. But they went a horn after other deities, bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way with their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yah, but they did not so. And when Yah raised them up judges, then Yah was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Yah because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And ask yourself, where do you think these judges come from? And what is a judge? A judge is a man of Elohim. A judge is a deliverer. A judge is one that Yahweh was sent to save the people. And where do you think they came from? Well, these judges was raised up right in our midst. They didn't come from no foreign place. They was raised from the midst of their brethren. And where were their brethren? In captivity, being spoiled, being vexed and distressed. Watch what it says again in the 18th verse. And when Yah raised them up judges, then Yah was with the judge, delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Yah because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And that's where our people are today. They're oppressed and they're vexed. But they ain't seen nothing yet. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other deities to serve them and to bow down unto them. And they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. So this is the way of Israel. This is the cycle of Israel. Judge will save them, but they didn't care. And they would go back a whoring, doing what they was doing before Judge saved them. And this is where David came in at. Because there is a controversy, people, and with the leaders of the people. He has a great controversy. And what is it? That Yah is going to put an end to all this mess. Because Yah already talked about raising up one. That's one of the first scriptures we read in the book of Jeremiah 30, where he said he was going to raise David up. And what do you think he's going to raise him up to do? To be a deliverer, a judge, which ultimately he will be a king. And where do you think he's going to raise him up at? In Jerusalem? Is that where people being subjected to with the gross oppression? In Israel, only people I hear about getting oppressed over there is Palestinians and maybe some Ethiopian Israelites. But let me show you what the Creator said he would do. So you can see how King David will be manifested in the earth. The first place I want you to read is in the book of Hosea, the first chapter. And this is one of the first scriptures you want to read. Even though our people know David, well, not all our people, but many who know he's going to be raised up, they want you to believe that he's going to be somewhere sitting on the throne of Jerusalem or in a cave. Or he's somewhere that the book don't even talk about. Watch what it says in the book of Hosea, the first chapter. You have to really understand the story. I want to start this story in the fourth verse, and watch what it says. And Yah said unto him, his name Yezreel, because prophet Hosea hit the marriage harlot, a wife of whoredoms. And of course she bare him two sons. Watch what it says. And Yah said unto him, call his name Yezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Yezreel on the house of Yahu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Yezreel. And watch what it says. And she conceived again, Elohim sent to him, call her name Lo-ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel. I will utterly take them away. And Yahweh did. Heaven heard. But I will have mercy upon the house of Yehuda. I will save them by Yahweh, and will not save them by boat, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now, when she had weaned Lo-ruhamah, she conceived her son. Then said Elohim, call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. And you're going to understand why I said that. 10th verse. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. And what place do we hear more than any place that we are not your people? Is that in Jerusalem? Is that in Jamaica? Is that in Barbados? Virgin Islands? Surely in all those places, there's a lot of contentment. Our people are oppressed greatly. But the place where frequently told that we're not the people, right here in America. Because right here in America, we the people that sing the loudest that we are the people. And watch what it says. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto him, ye are not my people, there are the sons of the living Elohim. And why, what is it? 7th verse. Then shall the children of Yehuda and the children of Israel be gathered together, That's how you know it's talking about Jewish prophecy. Because Yehuda and Israel is not gathered together. And appoint themselves one head. One head. Now, who do you think that one head is? Since Yahweh said it only can be the appointed one, you only hold one mind. He only chose one out of the people. And he said his name was David. He said, not only he only chose one, and one is mighty, and one is anointed, he said, man, which also means one. He said he's only going to have one king, one shepherd, one prince. So this made sense that they would only do one. They'll come up out of the land. What land? The land of enemies. For great shall be the day of Yezreel. What do Yezreel mean? Yezreel means Yah. Or Elohim has planted. And what is Elohim planting? What seed is he planting? Well, let me tell you the seed that he's planting. There's one head. This is all Israel is waiting for. There's one head. This deliverer. This judge. This king. Who do you think we're waiting for? And I'm in. He's not coming to America speaking no foreign language, no Japanese, Gothic, no Yiddish. He's not coming to speak no Hebrew. He's going to speak the language that rules the earth. And what language is that? English. How do I know it? People are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. There's only one place, though, that ruled earth. That's Babylon. Right here in America. Furthermore, to show you this, in the book of Jeremiah the 30th, 30th chapter. Of course, all over the scripture, Almighty said, in the days of David, we're going to be saved. Why in his days? Because he's the judge. He's the king. He's the leader. He's the commander. Why not in his days? Who do you think going to lead this charge? Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah 30. First of all, we read in the book of Jeremiah 3 where the Almighty said in 9 verse, they shall serve Yahweh Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Well, where he's going to be raised? Well, in the same place they said we want the Elohim, in that same place it says, they're going to say we are the son of the living Elohim. And we're going to have one head. But furthermore, look in the 18th verse. And this is what it is. Thus is Yah, captivity of Yaakov's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon her own, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Out of them shall proceed given in the voice of them make merry. And I will multiply them and shall not be few. I will also multiply them and bless them. And what's this 21st verse? And their nobles shall be of themselves and their governor. And and what's a governor? Governor is ruler. That's the head man. That's the head honcho. And their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And where are they? No tents. And nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will call him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. Oh, who is this that engages his heart? Approach unto me, says Jah, and ye shall be my people, your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of Yah goeth forth with fury, a continual whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yah shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intent of his heart. In latter days ye shall consider it. Why? Because that's when he was supposed to return, in the latter days. Why? That's when Israel's supposed to be delivered, in latter days. And where do our governors supposed to come from? Well, from our midst. And where is that going to be? Where are we at? This is where we are. Fourth chapter. Let's turn there. Because I told you before that Yah had controversy with his people, and particularly the leaders. Whether you call yourself a leader or not, Yah know you've been acting. You've been acting like, so I got to be held accountable for trying to be one. About these shepherds. Ezekiel 34, verse 7. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of Yah. As I live, says Elohim, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast, and the beast he's talking about is not four-legged beast. He's talking about two-legged beast, because there was no shepherd. There was a shepherd. Neither did my shepherds for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. You know this ain't talking about Jerusalem. This talking about captivity. How do we know that? Because in the fifth verse, it says, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they came to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Our people were scattered all over, and they were just sheep everywhere. But do you think the shepherds care? The shepherds, out of fact, they celebrate that. It's good that Israel is scattered. It's good that we have a congregation here and a congregation there and a congregation over there and a congregation over there. That's good. That's good to you. But not to Yah, because Yah is a true shepherd. Yah wants his flock together. He don't want his flock scattered. And watch what Yah says. 10th verse. Against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be for them. For thus is Elohim, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. This is how our deliverance will come. Now we are all with it. When Yahweh called him delivered, he raised up judges. That's what we read in the book of Judges, second chapter. That's what we read in Exodus, the second chapter with Moses. That's what we read in the book of Genesis 45 and 41 with our father Yosef. Israel being delivered. Yosef delivered them out of the famine, delivered them out of Egypt, and the judges delivered all our people out of their troubles, vexations, and distresses. But here it is again. Y'all talk about us being delivered out of all the places where we've been scattered. Watch what it says, 13th verse. From the people. Gather them from the countries. Bring them to their own land. And feed them on the mountains of Israel. By the rivers. And all the inhabited places of the country. This is a process. Watch what it says again. I will bring them out for the people. Number one. Gather them from the countries, number two. Bring them to their own land, number three. Feed them up by the rivers. And, of course, I tell people that's where we're going. They say, we're going to no mountains. We're going to the land. And in all the inhabited places of the country. 14th verse. I will feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and fat pasture, and they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says Yah Elohim. And watch how Yah say all this is going to be manifested. I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, says Elohim. I will seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away, will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Now, if I don't just have a controversy with the shepherds. He had controversy with the flock also. And watch what he says. Thus says Elohim, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. And don't be confused about the metaphors he's using. He's not Israel. Seem if it small thing unto you, have eaten of the good pasture, sit down with your feet, the residue of your pastures, until I have drunk the deep waters, but ye must follow the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, ye eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus is Yah Elohim. Behold, I will judge between fat cattle and between the lame cattle. In other words, all Israelites is doing good, and all Israelites is only they self, and they ain't doing no works, and all they doing is feeding themselves, worried about themselves, concerned about themselves, and ain't worrying about nobody else. Ain't feeding the poor, ain't doing nothing for the widow, ain't thinking about the fatherless, and they not a part of the solution. All they are is part of the problem. And all they doing is hell-bearing, slandering, but they ain't doing no works. Part of the problem, but not part of the solution. Watch what y'all says. Verse 21. Because you thrust with God, with shoulder, push all the disease which horns till ye have gotten them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. Now watch the 23rd verse. Because I see, just like in the beginning, that which is now have already been, and that which shall be, and what's now have already been. Elohim require that which is past. And watch what he says in the 23rd verse. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. So who do you think will be shepherding the people? First, I will bring them out from the people, gather them from the countries, bring them to their own land, feed them on the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. Who you think going to do that? Well, here's one shepherd. That's the job of a shepherd. That's the problem y'all got with the shepherds. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Yah, will be their Elohim, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, Yah, have spoken. This is what Yah says. Shall it not be? Surely this is going to be. This is going down. And where do Yahweh raise the shepherd from? From the midst of his brethren. Yahweh is not bringing nobody with no foreign tongue and no foreign language to foreign land to do nothing. His shepherds, his judges are raised right in the midst. They're not falling out of heaven, not coming out of the grave like Thriller, like our people want to believe. No, they raised right there in the midst. Because this is the ways of Yah. The 29th verse. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. They don't have to worry about the shame of the heathen. And if you know the scriptures, you will know the same place we were put to shame is the same place our fame. And it says, thus shall they know that I, Yah, their Elohim, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, says Yah Elohim. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pastor, are men. I'm Elohim, says Yah Elohim. Are the flock of his pastor. This is where it's going down at. not in Jerusalem. It's going down right here in the land of enemies. And why? So that you will know that he's Yah. Third verse. Thus they shall know that I, Yah, the Elohim, am with them. How else are we going to know Yah is with us? Unless this come to pass. King David manifestation would take place right in the midst of his brethren, right here in captivity. And why? Because that's where his brothers are. This is where his people are. His people are not in Jerusalem. They in captivity. We were taken out of Jerusalem. We were taken out of Israel for our disobedience. And one might say, well, why won't he be raised up in Brazil? And why isn't he raised up with this family in Jamaica? And this family that might be in Australia? And this family might be because they're not ruling. They're not ruling. This is where the power is, right here. Man come from Jamaica, he don't know from nothing about America. Man come from Australia, he don't even know how to speak the language. Well, maybe he do, but maybe don't. But right here, you can go all over the world speaking this language, because this language is spoken all over the world. When an American travel all over the world, he don't have nothing to worry about. He can walk right in Egypt and Iraq and Syria with no problem. In China, North Korea. Because they know if anything go down with an American, they know what's happening. Now, yes, you do have these barbarians cutting off heads and stuff. They're not ruling anything. And they really have no power. So this is where the seat of the power is. And this where the seat of our power is. And this is where the seat of where our power will be manifested at. When Yah raise up his judge, his governor, his deliverer from the midst of his brethren. In the last scripture in the book of Isaiah 55. And this is what it says in the third verse. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the mercies of David. And what is this covenant? Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people. A witness to what? A witness to what? A witness to the fact that what we're telling you is the truth. That he will be a leader and a commander to the people. Because that's what shepherds do. They lead. I know the custom to seeing false and fake shepherds. But Yah says these false and fake shepherds, he has a contract with them, and he's going to deal with them. And he's going to set up one shepherd. And this shepherd is not going to just lead Yahweh's flock out of America, But this one shepherd is going to gather the 12 tribes of Israel, because all 12 tribes are lost, and they're going to gather to this one that Yah has set up to be king. And his name is David. So until tomorrow, we're still dealing with King David in the last days. Yah love you, so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.